الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So inshallah, we're going to review last time's session and we'll go ahead inshallah. This is very simple things, basically about Salat. We started the chapter of Salat. So let's just get this. So we discussed the meaning of the word Salat. Does anybody remember? Namaz ke ilawa aur bhi iske maane aate hain. Salat ke. Salat ye wo nahi hai jo khane ke saath salat. Salat. Do you remember in Arabic? Salah. Okay, that is the one we pray. Any other meaning for this? We discussed this last time. Pichli dafa kaun hai? یہ بھی نماز کے معنی میں ہے. سو صلات کین بی یوز فار دعا، رائٹ؟ ون وی میک دعا اسپیشلی فار درود آن رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. عربز دے ڈونٹ سے درود شریف، رائٹ؟ دے سے صلی علی النبی، الصلاۃ علی النبی. سو دیٹ مینس اللہم صلی علی. سو صلات فرام دا سیم ورڈ از صلی. یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما ان اللہ وملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی. Now, Salat, when it's referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that Allah is descending His mercy on the Prophet. And when it is referred to the angels, they are making dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we discussed some of the ayat of the Quran, which is very important related to salah. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ حَلَاكَتُ وَمُسَلِّينَ كَلِيَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. They're completely neglectful about their salah. اپنے نماز کے بارے میں وہ کوتاہی کرتے ہیں. So scholars have said that this was referred to the munafiqeen of the time, that they had no importance for the salah. They would do it only to show others. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالَى يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. So just to show the people, they would stand up. And when nobody was looking, they would not pray. In their hearts, it was a burden for them. So salat for a believer is supposed to be a mercy, something that makes him feel nice. And from the beginning to the end, it should be a stress relief. And now, if we're not getting these feelings, that means there's a problem. Right? When we start our salat, it should be taking away from all the problems of what's going on at home, what's going on in the workplace, what's going on here and there. Now I'm speaking with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's supposed to take care of my blood pressure. It's supposed to take care of all whatever the concern is. So that is the whole idea of this salat. جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that my coolness of my eyes has been put into the salat. That's why it felt when others looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll notice that his feet are swelling up. They'll notice that these are after hours. How is he standing? But the feeling that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was getting was the opposite. He was actually getting sukoon and itminan in that salat because he had developed this salat. Ye phir ro gaya bhai. I have to point it there. Okay. So, we already did this on the Day of Judgment. First thing to be questioned is the salat. أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسِبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. And also we already talked about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes responsibility. I made a promise to myself, if someone comes to me by paying attention to performing 5 salah, I will enter him into Jannah. So if I am working on my salah, I'm learning it, this is the pathway. We're making our way towards Jannah. Whenever we are learning knowledge, we have to have that idea. مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. It's not on there. Just look straight that way. It's not working. These are some narrations, and most of us have already heard this, especially in Jamaat, we hear about this. So So Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, even if you are chopped up or burnt alive, shouldn't do shirk. I mean, you should never miss the salat. Never miss your first salat deliberately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move His protection away from a person who misses his first prayers. That means the protection of Allah is then removed. So now anything can go wrong with this individual. So every salat that comes, we should make sure that it is prayed on time. This way there is no wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayer is the pillar of the religion. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqam as-salah wa ita'iz zakah. All the five pillars. Now for the children, we talked about this hadith as well. For the children, Rasulullah had commanded to start teaching them from a very young age. Even though salat technically becomes farz on the individual when he hits bulugh, when he becomes baligh, when he hits puberty, that's when technically he's being put to account. Jab baligh hota hai, uske baad se namaz farz hoti hai. Lekin hukum yeh hai ke 7 saal ki umar pehle se hi shuru kar di jaye. It should be in such procedure that it's in the nature of the child that he is already into salah. He understands that this has to be done. And some hadith say that this is the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Right? So if a person is not praying and he says that he is a Muslim, these type of narrations are very, very scary. They point to the fact that you don't have a sign of Islam inside of you. So from 7 years of age, if he's praying his salat, and then at 10, if he misses, there should be consequences. And by consequences, it means it says here to hit them. But we have to understand that consequences can be in different forms. Whatever a child likes very much, it can be taken away. So that they understand that, okay, when your salat is done, you're going to get that reward. So this is some of the ways of raising our children. وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. And then separate them in their beds. That was also discussed last time, that when we are living in a small home especially, we should make sure that from this age the children should be separated. And we discussed this, that the children are growing up to be smarter nowadays. If you look at the children from the last 10, 15 years, or even our grandparents, if we ask them, they'll say that children were very simple, they didn't understand things. I remember one of my elders were saying that we were so simple that if we were told to sit in one spot and they would make a circle around that area, that don't go out of this, and nobody would have the audacity to move out. Nobody would do that. But now it's so difficult that right when the parents turn their back, things happen in the house. So this shows that there's intelligence coming into children from a very young age. So they should be separated from the beddings. They should not be sleeping with the adults. Farz-e-ayn, that was the ruling. And we discussed farz-e-ayn, farz-e-kifaya. This has already been discussed. So farz-e-kifaya is what somebody who's been... Farz-e-kifaya, ji, batai. Farz-e-kifaya, agar karein to sawab hai, nahi karein to?
Ek group agar kar le.
Ji, ji. Karna hai, lekin kisi na kisi. Ji, ji, ji. So it falls on everyone, and if some do it, then everyone is relieved from the hukum. And kifayat means sufficient. I do something and it's enough for everyone. Then similarly is ayn. Ayn means one person at a time. Everyone is responsible. I can't pray for Brother Muslim. I can't pray for Brother Shariar. Everyone has to pray on their own. So salat is of that nature that every individual has to give account. Then the last thing we did last time was the posture of the salat. We had one volunteer do the whole thing up here, but we're going to do it one more time, inshallah, to review this. I'll leave the one up for the sisters. They can see the posture of the salat as well. So, namaz ka dhancha agar koi dikhaye, inshallah. So, sabko nazar aa jaye. Last time we did one, and then everyone can follow along. If there's any question related to that, then we can go ahead and tackle that, inshallah. The copies are made? It's on now?
Yeah, it is.
They can see this?
Yeah.
Okay. So the sisters, they can look up on the diagram. If they have questions, they can write it to us, inshallah. So for the brothers, ji, shuru kare, inshallah. Sirf dhancha ji. Okay. So basically, he has everything. Koshish karein ke qibla ke taraf hi hon, sare paon aur ungliyan bhi, everything. We discussed the distance between the 2 feet. Now I've seen our brothers also standing with wide open feet. We have to let this go. Just because others are doing it, just because I lived in Saudi Arabia for this many years, or just because I go to a masjid where people are, these are not dalil for us. Most of us, majority of us, we follow the Hanafi fiqh, and all of that is taken from Quran Hadith. So it is important that in the Hanafi fiqh, they say 4 fingers apart. So we should try our best to bring it together. Bring the feet together and straight. The toes are going to be straight. If we make it apart, they're going to go apart. So make it orthodontic. Okay, so now by standing like this, you can see that the human nature has been made to stand like this. Aise khade hone se aadmi seedha nazar aata. But if you try any other way, it's going to look like against the nature of the build of the insan. Ji. Okay, now face or aankhe. Yes, aankhe samne hongi. Yeah, jab shuru karte waqt, you're going to be facing towards the qibla. So basically, that's the qibla right now, just to understand. And now we're going to bring our hands up to?
Ears.
Ji. So kahan hai ears? All right. So yeah. Thoda sa aage? Ji, ji, ji. And this is okay. You can leave this a little bit open. Pura band karna nahi hai. Just say apne halat pe chhod de, inshallah. That's okay. So up to the ears, some have said touch the earlobes, but up to the ears is good enough, inshallah. Ji. So now after the takbir. Theek hai. So when your head doesn't have to go down, the eyes should go down. Because we have to make sure that the face is still towards the qibla. So eyes are going to be towards. Kahan pe rongi? Sajde ki jagah. Okay, good. Ji. Okay. Now this. There are 2 ways of holding. Some people, you see, they're holding like this. That's called wada. And this is called aqt. Aqt means to tie it up. Hanafi fiqh says that it should be tied up onto the wrist. So both of your fingers have to go around the wrist. And the 3 fingers will be on top. And under the navel. So the navel is here. Naaf ke niche hona chahiye. We'll discuss, if other people want to know which hadith, where we're taking, that's a whole different discussion. But right now we need to just fix our salat and then we can go into that. Okay. Chalein, ab ruku mein jayein, inshaAllah. So the back is going to be straight, like last time we talked about. These fingers are going to be apart, holding up into the knees. And the eyesight will be where? Between the feet there. Huh? Aapka sahi nahi hai keh rahe. Paon ke beech mein koshish kare nazron ka. This is also, it looks like something that maybe not important, but scholars have said those who can't control their eyesight in salat, then outside they have a problem controlling their eyesight. So everything we're doing in salat is to learn self-restraint. That I'm learning self-control. Okay? My whole body is in submission to the will of Allah. So the small things have already been written to. Ji, okay. Ji. And okay. So this are many people, they open up this elbow like this. So that's incorrect. We're going to keep it straight and the back straight as well. Fingers should be open. Ji. Okay. Sami Allah. So when he stands up, the eyesight is going to go back to the sujood place. Okay. Okay. Ji. When we stand, it shouldn't be like this. Yes. Even before the salat, many people wait for iqamah like this. I was in Raven, even the elders, they saw me do this. They said, no, where did we get this from? Our hands should not be tied. Salat is about to be completely straight. That's when I'm making my niyat. If I'm tying my hands, then I have to have a dalil. Why am I tying my hands? Right? So a lot of people, they wait for salat like this, so we shouldn't do anything before, right before. Okay, chale. Allahu Akbar, sujood. Sajda, idhar karne, nazar aaye. Okay, we just have to remember the pattern as you go down. Chale, pehle kya aayega, niche. Okay, knees first, phir uske baad, haath, ji, good. Uske baad naak, phir maata. So in the sujood, now he's going to close his fingers. Okay? And they're still parallel to his ears. Okay. Now this area for the men, it has to be open. Like this is good. In some ahadith, it mentioned about a baby goat going through Rasulullah's stomach area. So it's just to show that there was an opening there. Right? Some people go like this. Now that is for the sisters. We're going to discuss there's differences there. So this is for the men. Okay. So these feet should not be raised. And again we said this many times, but when we go into sajda fast, our reflex is such that our feet go up, and we see this in the youngsters. So if our feet are up, some ulama have written that for 3 subhanallahs, and your salat is then finished. It breaks your salat if your feet go off the ground. So we make sure, even if it's 1, it should not go up. So if we're praying calmly, وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ, that the qunut, the humbleness in the salat has to come. So now his feet have to stay on the ground. Okay, so Allahu Akbar, tashahud mein baithe. Now this we discuss as well, that the right foot is standing up and the left one is turned in. Now even the left foot, if we can, we try our best to turn it towards the Qibla. It's difficult for some people who have a difficult flexing, but practice over again and again and again. In Nawafil when we do it, you'll see the body will come into doing it very easily then. Ji. So finger will be left in their way, so not too open, not too close. And it won't be too up to the knees or all the way back on the thigh, but in the middle area around this side. And his fingers are good. They're open and not too open either. So the way it's normally left, it should be left. See. Ji. Yes, go on, batayenge. Kar rahe hain aap, kar rahe hain? Nahi, uthte waqt kya pehne aa raha? Matha pehle aayega, theek hai? So it's going opposite way. Pura jis tarah aaye uska bilkul baraks. So then forehead, nose, and then you're going to get up, and then the knees. Okay, right now where he should be looking? Ji ji, god mein apne jo in your lap area, he should be looking there. And theek hai, the feet are okay. So now in tashahud, how do we do the finger? Hamad, you know? Yes, try our best to make a circle. And once we put the finger down, then leave it in that way. Don't go back to putting it straight. It's ji ji ji. Illa ra pe phir chhod dein. Now scholars have gone into great detail where and where not, but we keep simple basics in mind, because in our salat we don't want to be too confused about these things. So at least we do it right, that once it's raised, put it down and leave it in that position. Like you leave it this, and it'll keep you focused that I've already done tashahud. If we put our feet back, our hands back, then you'll think that, oh, maybe I have to do it all over again. Okay, ab salam phir le. Assalamu alaikum. So now where is he going to look? Look on the shoulders. It should be turned so much that hadith says that from the back, if people were looking, they can see the cheek of that person. Ji, you had a question? Try our best this way, because the toes are towards the Qibla. Now, medical reasons, it's hurting, this and that. A lot of people say about this, but you try slowly, slowly, inshallah. You'll get the habit of turning it in. Yeah. No, you're good. That's good. So your toes should be like just like that. Now, if you can turn it more in, that's what I'm saying, to practice on that. Turn it more in. Some of your toes are opened up. So if you turn it towards the inside, yes, like that. So it's all about like mashq and tamreen, and if you keep doing, inshallah, you'll get it. So then the salam thing, so anything about this? Yes. Yes, same. This is basically the whole thing about movements, right? The posture. So even if it's second rakat, usmadi, you're going to be looking in between sides. Yes, same thing. Every time you sit the tashahud, the eyesight is going in the same place. You? Eyesight in the ruku. So during the ruku, we discuss right now. Where? Between the feet. ठीक है तो पांव के बीच में नजरें होंगी यहाँ यस डॉक्टर The one on the that side, yes, they say they try. That's the thing, is try. Aisa nahi hai ki na ho to namaz nahi ho rahi, lekin koshish ye kare. The idea is to, as much as control we have of our body, should be facing towards the Qibla. Ji. Standing? One whole?
Yeah.
No, the four finger limit has been said as the Hanafi point of view. The five finger is the Shafi point of view. So we stick to the four finger point of view. It's more clear for us, inshallah, because we're already in the process of being too wide. So we work on bringing it together. Right? This is a disease. Unfortunately, I've seen our youngsters praying like this. We come back, bring it in as close as possible, inshallah, and you'll see you'll be standing very straight. Char imam said, that's why we're saying that it's not right, because if it's one of the four imams saying it, then we don't speak against it. That's why if it's one of the four, then we'll say, okay, follow that fiqh and stick to it. But the spreading of the legs is according to none of the four imams. This has been taken from one of the hadith in Bukhari, al-qadam bil-qadam. But that hadith is not said to be in the literal sense. Because in other hadith of Abu Dawud, Rasulullah said, put your neck with your neck, put your knee with your knee. But literally, you cannot do that. But the only thing that works to make the line straight is the shoulders. Everything else is to look at that, where is this person? Right? You can move back and forth just to look at, okay, his neck is there, I can be right here. His knees are there. Safan seedhe karne dusre ko dekha jayega. लेकिन सिर्फ कंधे मिलाने से सब सीधी होती है, इसे खोलने से और भी गड़बड़ हो जाती है. दिस इज थ्रू प्रैक्टिकल द हदीस इटसेल्फ, इट टॉक्स अबाउट टू ऑफ यंग सहाबीज, एंड आई टॉक्ड अबाउट दिस, अनस रदियल्लाहु अन्हु एंड नौमान बिन बशीर रदियल्लाहु अन्हु. दे वर वेरी यंग एंड चिल्ड्रन एट दैट टाइम वुड बी इन द बैक, राइट आफ्टर द एडल्ट्स एंड द चिल्ड्रन. सो दे लुक फ्रॉम देयर एंड दे आर सेइंग दैट द फीट वर बीइंग पुट टुगेदर, एवरीथिंग वाज बीइंग पुट टुगेदर. So the scholars have said it was not in the literal sense. What it meant was, make your line straight. Only the shoulder and shoulder can actually make it straight. Okay. Ji. Ji, ji. Good point. For the sajda, towards our nose, inshallah. Okay, inshallah. We're going to move forward, inshallah. So now, related to the posture for our sisters as well, this comes up many times, that is the salat same for the men and for the women? Because those people who say it's for the same for the men and women, they use the hadith where Rasulullah said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni, usalli, pray like you have seen me pray. So they take it in the literal sense that, okay, whatever Rasulullah did, everyone, male, female, should do the same. Whereas there was other incidents where Rasulullah saw women praying and he instructed them that this is not for you, this is not for you. And there are smaller ahadith broken down into different arkan of the salat. So scholars then, they studied the whole picture and they said that for the woman, the idea is the whole body is a satr for the woman, right? The whole body is awra for the woman. So that's why it is important that whatever rukun she is doing, it's going to cover her body. If you notice that, that's the basic hikmat behind all the things that she's doing, that her body is being covered. And there are basically six places where there's a difference. So the sisters, when they pray, we tie our hands down here. So if they do the same thing, their chest will be exposed. So what's more modest for them? This way, right? So that's why you'll see that the sisters, that's one difference there, that they were going to put their hands on their chest. Then the next thing is that when they go, when they raise their hand, before that, raising the hands, you notice they're not raising it all the way up to their ears. They'll raise it to their sides. So that's why, because if they raise it higher, again, the body starts to expose. So everything here you'll notice is to cover the body, to keep the woman in a concealed way, that this is giving respect to our sisters. So then we find the next thing, going into ruku. Now she's not going to make the whole back straight, right? Why? If she does so, then for the women behind her, anybody that might be around, it's going to expose her body. So again, it's going to come back to what's more concealing for her, what can be more of a satr for her. So she will squeeze herself in. Hanafi, And all the other Imams as well, they have similar point of view on this. They're saying that the Salat, the Farais are the same, right? Makruhat are the same. But the difference is only that whenever she does the Arkan, she's going to make sure that she keeps in front of her Satr. Okay, so then we're going to move on. In the Ruku part, you notice the same thing. And then after that, when she goes into Sujood, look at figure 5, if our sisters are paying attention, that you'll notice that going into Sujood again, her body is going to touch itself. It's going to come together. And other ulama have also written this very important point that they have said that Salat is same for men and women, but everything that women do is to bring their body parts together. It's going to be covering. So when they go down, their stomach and thighs will be together. These hands, even though for men, Rasulullah has prohibited that don't do like animals, right? To go like this. But for sisters, they have to cover themselves. Then the final difference is, if you notice in number 6, is when they're sitting in tashahud, they'll put both feet out. They're not going to raise one foot up. Again, that area in the bottom of the bodies might be exposed. So again, to keep it down. So this is a beautiful wisdom in the salat. You notice that none of the areas of the women are being exposed. So if sisters don't understand, inshallah, they can send the question later on. But some people are so strict over these, and unfortunately, a few months ago, somebody called. It was a sister, and she said that she got into a conflict with the husband. So she said, over the salat. The husband said that you are not allowed to stay in this house, that if you pray like this. It got to the point, tumhe ijazat hi nahi hai, agar isse padhna hai, to ghar se nikal. He said, what should I do, Mufti sahab? And it's gotten to the point where they're split up, right? So this is why not educating ourselves and becoming too extreme to the wrong point of views, it leads to other destruction. See, shaitan makes his way, even through deeni masail, sometimes shaitan makes his way into. So it's important to stick to what ulama ikram are saying. There's a safety issue there, and it will keep our relationships intact as well.
So,
where? Yeah. So three on top, and you're grabbing your wrist with these two. You'll leave it in its normal. Yeah. Okay. So now we get back to the notes here from the book. Then scholars have defined the four different categories of salat. There's farz, and those are the 5 farais, right? Wajib, witr. These are very simple things. Sunnah muakkada. If somebody can quickly tell us the sunnah muakkada. Ji, bake up. Kon kon se sunnah muakkada? Aur kitne hai? Aate bhai. एक एक बार दस या फिर जी इंशाल्लाह यस ओएस 12 यस टोटल इज 12 एंड व्हाट्स द वर्चू फॉर इट व्हाई डू व्हाट आर यू गोइंग टू गेट जी What was it? Yes, a home and Jannah. Especially this one hadith talks about a house and Jannah. That means just separately just for doing this, right? So we have to build as many as we can, inshallah. If we do every single day, it's not difficult. And Sunnah Muakkada means insisted upon Sunnah. Rasulullah would never leave these out. And scholars have said to leave it out without a reason, the person is going to be blameworthy. He's going to be doing a sin. So we shouldn't think, oh, it's just Sunnah, leave it. It's Sunnah Muakkada, it should not be left out. We try our best to pray it. Even when we're traveling and the safar itself is safe and you have time, and you should go ahead and pray. And nowadays, usually it's like that. Ji. Ji. No, qaza mein hi. Yes, qaza mein hi sunnat. Ji, sunnah ghair muakkada and nafil, those that have not been insisted upon. Rasulullah did pray them and sometimes he didn't. And if it's left out, it's not a sin. But those people who are punctual in their nafil, they will be punctual in their sunnah muakkada, they will be punctual in their farz. So because every good deed is attached with another good deed, every salat is attached with another salat, so we should not look at it as too much. It's actually a whole process to keep us connected with the Salat. When we're traveling?
No.
Qaza?
Hmm.
No, no, no. There is no qaza for sunnah. So if you missed it, then you missed it. So then, of course, for witr, you're going to have to make up the witr as well. Anything related to this? Any questions? Then we'll go ahead. So from the next third point is about the timings of the salat. Now this, all of us should know these things. They're very basic. For Zohar prayer, start with Zohar is easier to understand this way up to Fajr. Zohar beginning is after Zawal. Now Zawal is when the sun is at its highest point. And that's only for a few minutes. So that time we shouldn't be praying. But once the sun moves from there, that's Zohar time begins. So whenever we say Zawal, the literal meaning of Zawal is when it's at its highest point. But when we say Zawal ho gaya, it means Zohar ka waqt has now started. And it ends when? Then the shadow of everything becomes double its height. So if we know about how the sun works, you'll notice that as the sun moves, everything, the shadow starts to get bigger and bigger. So let's say this. You see, at the time when the sun is at its middle, you will hardly see the shadow of this, right? And right after the Zawal time goes, then you'll see a shadow of this starts to come out. And it keeps going, it keeps going. So now scholars have said that when this gets to the same size, the shadow is equal to the object itself, right? That's one of example of the... Zawal time in the midday, not equal to the shadow won't be there. You won't hardly see it, it'll be a little, little thing. But we're saying about when it moves forward. As it moves, the shadow will start to grow. And then when it will grow to the point that one size and then another, it will double this. Jab iska dugna ho jayega na, to phir zohar ka waqt khatam ho jata. It's simple to understand. Now, scholars have differed about this, but I, as a normal Muslim, I should know this much. Then how is the time calculated? Ji. Well, you can use a calendar for that, right? It's gonna 5 minutes before Asr? No, what I'm trying to say is that the ruling is from this. The ruling, because in the Hadith, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came and he prayed the Imam of Rasulullah, the Prophet said, Jibreel alayhi salam led me in prayers. One day it was the beginning time of every salat, the next day it was the ending time of every salat. And then Jibreel alayhi salam said that your prayers are between these two timings. That's how we know the limits of every salat, right? So this is how it's calculated that the shadow has to be doubled. The reason we use these simple examples is that if a person had no technology, then he can still understand that this is how it's done. Let's say you're in the desert, you won't have a clock or any minutes, then that. But nowadays we have the calendar, you can just look at it and you'll know, okay, how many minutes or you need to add or subtract. It's an easier way. Are you asking about today? Yes. If Asr is entering at 4? Yes. Yes. Before 4, not after 4 has already entered. Yeah, so you're going to be praying. It's not good to delay, of course, but you pray as much as you can before the time enters, because then it will become qaza. So every salat, now if you notice, the next one begins when Zohar ends. So when Zohar time is ended, now Asr time started. It's simple to know those things. And it,
every salat is like that.
Yes, every salat will be connected with the next salat. But in Fajr, you'll notice it's different. It's only up to sunrise. And the next thing, you just wait, and then it's the Ishraq prayer. So it's not all the way up to Zohar, right? Similarly, is for Isha, it's encouraged that it should be done before the midnight. After that, you'll start to lose reward. Even though technically, Fars can be done even after that of 2 Fajr time. But you'll start to lose reward, and it's just like to delay it that much. So, ji.
Ji. According to the narrator, the afterlife is not here. According to this rule, it is already after the time that
started. It's safer to go with the calendar. This has been tried and calculated again and again. They don't just do it once. What they do is again and again. That's why these calendars, especially Islamic Finder and these, it's better, it's safer to just go with that. If you try to calculate it yourself, it's possible there could be a mistake or the weather issue or something might come up, right? If it's a cloudy day and you have an issue with the shadow, right? So it's better to just go with the timings that already been calculated. It's safer that way. And in some, like the Zawal time, Ishraq time, they've already put in extra minutes for safety. That time has been put in so that you're in the safe zone. It's better to go with that. If we try to determine it ourselves, the chance of making a mistake is greater there. Yeah. Yes. So Maghrib goes all the way up to where Isha starts, right? So let's do Asr. So Asr begins when Dhuhr ends and it ends when the sun sets. So when it's going down, the ghurub takes place, then Asr time finishes, right? So there is an exception here, that when a person has not prayed Asr, right? And the time of Asr is ending, then he should still pray Asr, even though the sun is setting. That's the only exception there that is allowed. There's one more thing that I didn't mention. In the second, where the categories are, in the Nafil prayer, if a Nafil is broken, then it becomes wajib. If a nafil is broken, we're praying 2 rakah nafil, and for some reason we broke our salat, right? So when the nafil ibadah breaks, it becomes wajib. So that's why we have these categories. So we shouldn't say it's still nafil. If you prayed 2, you broke it, then you have to now make up that 2. Okay? So voluntarily getting into ibadah and then breaking it, then it becomes obligatory. You have to then do it. Ji. Takbir? For what? You mean, what do you mean by takbir? Like timing? Timing? Niyat? Okay, for any of the nafil ibadat, you're going to go, you don't have to put it into words. You should know which salat you're praying. Niyat, that's the reality of the niyat. In the heart, we should know what we're praying. So, if we stand up for ishraq, we should know, do rakah namaz, Nafil Allah ke waaste niyat karo, Nafil Ishraq ki Allah ke waaste mo mera Kaaba sharif ki. Now people put it in different orders, but as long as you know what you're praying, then you're okay. This wording was made only for exercising. It's not an obligatory or sunnat act to do it. You don't have to say it. So it's just the same thing that it's taught from the young age, that say it so that you don't just start praying anything. You know what you're doing. Yes. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lillazi doesn't have which salat you're praying. It's just a masnoon dua you can read. It just says that I'm putting my face towards the Kaaba. And that can be recited. Yes, we're going to get to that. I think it's the last point. Yeah, we're getting to that, inshallah. Let's go in order. So Asr begins from when Dhuhr ends and then up to sunset. If we haven't prayed Asr and the sun is setting, you still have to pray Asr. That's the exception there. We shouldn't stop. We should go ahead and pray the Asr prayer even if it gets late too, the sun starts to set. Then Maghrib, it starts when the sun has set and it lasts up to Shafaq. Now this, the word, you might have heard it before, what is Shafaq? This is actually that when the sun sets, you'll start to see two different colors come into the horizon. First color is red. Right after the sunset, there's redness, you look outside. The reason we are taught, because we're not connected with just technology. We have to know that from nature, how are these commands being taken out? That's why we have to know, if I can go out and see, I should know what time of Salat is, or a good estimate for it. So after the sunset, you'll see around, some scholars have written 40 minutes, some have said a lot more, up to an hour or so, there's redness. That's called Shafaq-e Ahmar, it's called the red Shafaq. Okay. After the redness goes away, then there's whiteness. All of this happens before it gets completely dark. Pehle lali aati hai, fir uske baad sufedi aa jati hai. So wo sufedi aur lali ke andar dono mein ulama ke bahut sare aqwal aate hain ki kahan se hum shuru kare. So the Hanafi fiqh, they go with the later opinion that once the Maghrib has entered, then all the way till when the whiteness disappears, your Isha will start. So So it's a longer time for Maghrib compared to other fiqhs. So this is why we should know that, okay, even if I'm late for Maghrib, I should not think that it's qaza now. Look for the timing. If Isha is entering 7:40, then I can still pray Maghrib at 7:30. If I'm late, and there will be a decrease in reward, but the farz can still make it in there. So once the whiteness finishes, then you'll see darkness. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, his opinion was very strict on this, that okay, when the whiteness finishes, then we're going to end Maghrib and then Isha starts. And other fuqaha, they go with the redness. They say that, okay, when redness finishes, then your Maghrib is done, Isha will start. That's why whenever we have this Isha, must have come up which one to go, some masajid early, some late. That's where it's originating from. It's coming from those two different kinds of shafaqs. So the safe, of course, if we take the Hanafi fiqh, Imam Hanifa's opinion, it will cover everyone. If everyone prays after the whiteness finishes, nobody's going to argue. And if some people pray after the redness, then people will argue and say that, why did Imam Hanifa then say? So that's where we have a difference of opinion. But it's important to go with the safe side in all cases so that we don't have doubts. Okay, so Shafaq disappears, Maghrib ends. Then Isha, it begins when Shafaq disappeared, right after that, right? And ends when the second true dawn has risen. Now when the morning starts to come in, you'll see that the dawn comes in two forms. It comes in two forms. First, there is whiteness in a vertical way into the sky. See, the from north to south, you'll see whiteness. That's called Subah Kazib, or the false dawn. That's not true. That's why we call it Kazib. Jhooti Subah Subah Hui Nahi Abhi. That's why it's called Kazib. That is, it's false. So when that happens, you're still in the time of Isha. Let's see, somebody missed. He can still pray Isha at that time. Of course, it's going to be a decrease of reward, but I know the limit. Bibi Ada Ho Sakti Isha. Okay, after that, when it's a vertical whiteness, it goes away, then there's a horizontal whiteness that comes. And that's when the sun starts to make its way up. So we're looking for the horizontal whiteness. If you're in far areas or in on mountains and stuff, you can look outside and you'll notice that now it's almost Fajr time. Even on the plane, this is a way to find out. Sometimes we don't know Fajr time. Open the window and you'll notice that if whiteness is now coming up, that's basically you're in the Fajr time now. After that, the sun is going to rise. Okay, so Subah, the one we need to know especially is the true dawn, which is known as Subah Sadiq. So that's what it's talking about here, that when Shafaq disappears, now Isha starts, and it goes all the way up to the time where the true morning sets in, and that's Subah Sadiq. And that's the horizontal whiteness which comes. These are just definitions of these. You'll hear these terms, and we should know at least what it is. So then Fajr starts, right? It begins from the Subah Sadiq and it'll go up to where sun rises. So that's your time for Fajr. That in that time you should have prayed your Fajr. And now right when the sun starts to rise, then the forbidden time begins. So these are the basic times. Do we have any question about these times? Then we'll go to the next one. Yes.
So you have only 2 minutes left. So you start
right.
How about Fajr? In 2 minutes,
the sun is right. Do we understand the question? So brother is asking that in Asr there is an exception that okay, sun starts to set, you should still pray it. If you don't, you don't have enough time. Can we do that in Fajr when the sun is rising? So no, we cannot do it in Fajr. The exception is only for Asr. That's why there has to be more restriction in our Fajr prayer. We make sure that even if it's close to starting now, you can't make it. It's going to be qaza. Even if you're praying and the sun starts to rise, you have to stop now. We cannot continue making sujood at that time. Only the exception is for Asr. Ji. No, in the Hanafi fiqh, I'm getting to that, the mustahab times, they're not all of them are late. Not all of them are late. So, I mean, I'll discuss that right now. So, there are mustahab times. From this, now the question might arise, when's the best time to pray? I know the limits. When's the best time to pray? For Fajr, it's Isfar. When we say Isfar means that thoda sa ujala ho jaye. This is Hanafi point of view. that when thoda sa ujala ho jaye, this is throughout the year, whether it's winter or summer. Whether it's winter or summer, it's best. The most reward, according to the Hanafi fiqh, is that to pray it when you see a little bit daylight is coming in. Even though Fajr has entered in the darkness, even Ramadan, you'll notice it's very dark. But we should wait to delay it a little bit. As far as I get, then it thoda sa ujala ho jaye. So that's the mustahab for both summer and winter. Then when it comes to Zohar, in Zohar you'll notice that it changes. In summer, it is better to delay the Zohar. It's better. Zyada agar sawab chahiye to Zohar mein taakhir ho, aur agar sardiyan ho to jaldi padi jaye Zohar. This is why all of those things have to be in the time limit. But the question is, when is the best time, right? So that's what I'm discussing right now. Ki sabse zyada sawab kis waqt mein, to agar sardiyan hain to Zohar jaldi padi jaye, agar garmiyan hain to Zohar der se padi jaye. Okay, this is about Zohar. Ji. Yes, actually the first few sessions, this is all we did. So, So if anyone has confusion on this, please listen to the beginning session. We did in detail, we made charts that how has this sunnah been taken from Rasulullah into fiqh form. So those who have been coming from the beginning, you have to keep that in mind. When I say Hanafi fiqh, it means Imam Hanifa's opinion of which hadith is the strongest in this, right? And when you say Shafi fiqh, Imam Shafi's opinion of which hadith is the strongest. So it's going back to Rasulullah and all of their teachers. Jee. Yes, that's a good question. That, okay, the salat, there's a hadith that says when it's ready, it should be prayed, right? So when these type of hadiths come up, they're taken in the general sense. Then the other thing that is put together with it is the practice of Rasulullah himself. So okay, was he praying it right away in winter, or was he delaying in the winter? Was he praying right away in the summer or delaying it? So there was a little bit of difference according to weathers and the practice of Rasulullah. So then the mustahab acts came out from that. That Rasulullah in this weather did it right away, in this weather waited a little bit. And when we say delay, it doesn't mean so much that the next salat is close. When we do that, then you're out of that hadith virtue and you're losing reward now. So basically, when we say right away or delay, it means a little bit of delay, right? So in winter, when we're saying to pray Zohar early, it means that before, because the days are shorter, right? Asar ka waqt bahut jaldi aayega. And in summer, it should be delayed. And Asar Salat in both winter and in summer, our point of view is that it should be delayed. Asar prayer, the Hanafi perspective is that it should be delayed, whether it's winter or summer. Now by delay, again, it doesn't mean to go to the end very few minutes. That will then make it makruh. So that hadith would apply where a person says that Rasulullah said that once the Salat is ready to pray, we're going to take it in the winter in that sense, or in the summer in that sense. You'll take the sunnah, the seerah of Rasulullah, and then you'll put it into with this, that on time. So if we're following the seerah and Rasulullah delayed in the winter, then you're on time. Okay? And if you're following the sunnah in the summer, then you're still on time according to how Rasulullah did it. So mustahab acts in asr for winter and summer, both were used to delay it just a little bit. Okay? Then we have maghrib. In Maghrib, Hanafi perspective is whether it's summer or whether it's winter, it has to be prayed early. That means time is entered. Now the next thing is that the Salat to start. The next thing. Now there's a question that arises here, and this masla is going on a lot, that right after the Azan, people pray two rakat and they delay and they wait. Okay, so now should we do that or not? Rasulullah's hadith on this matter was that if somebody wants to pray, he could pray. He gave permission for this. So scholars have said we should not take extreme approach on this matter, that if there is a masjid that has that time gap, and one of the Hanafi brothers stands up and prays, he is not to be blameworthy that, oh, you did something wrong. There is a hadith, gave him permission to do it, right? And then that's why in Haramain, they try to include all the diversity, and then the Haramain, they say that the imam comes a little bit late, or even if he's there, he'll start a little bit late, so that they can get everyone involved, right? Those masajid that have confusion, okay, they're having people of different fiqhs coming in and making a confusion for the people, then it's best for a masajid to just, if they're Hanafi masajid, then right after the azan, just start the prayer. Don't give that gap open. By giving it open, then you'll have some people do it, some not. Those who are doing it, the others will tell them, why are you doing it? And those who are not doing it, they'll tell the other, why are you not doing it? Because there's not enough education in this matter. Yes, Rasulullah did allow it, but he did not make it a sunnah, or nor did he make it a sin to leave it. It was just ijazat de di thi. Ijazat dene ka maksad ye tha ki na to isko sunnat banai jaye. Ki hamesha roz pad rahe hain. Kabhi kabhar kisi ne pad li, koi baat nahi. And aur itna bhi nahi ki kabhi main nahi padunga ye do. Aisa bhi nahi ho ki kisi ne pad liya usko bol rahe hain bhai aapne kyun padha, oh you did something wrong. That is the other extreme. So these type of matters, we have to be very wise on how to handle this. But the management of masajid, when they have these issues, they should keep, if they have Hanafi fiqh, then they should, like it says, to start right after the azan. Don't give that gap open so we don't have people quarreling over it, right? Other masajid do this and then they have confusion and they don't know what to do, even though both are right, right? So in Hanafi places, they should just go ahead and start right away. In other places where they go with diversity, then let them do it. We should not become extreme and start raising fingers on them. Okay, then comes the Isha. In Isha, if it says that if it's a cloudy day, then you should pray it early. You won't know when it's entered. So right when the time enters, you should pray Isha. And if it's a very clear day, then you can delay it because you know exactly that it's still Isha time. It's not getting too late. So for Isha, if you notice practically that it's later. For the Hanafi point of view, it's always going to be a little bit later than the other imams. So by praying it later, like I already mentioned, it's a lot safer, of course. Yes. The clock is concerned. So the clock time here, Isha. So you can pray your Maghrib up to here. Yeah. Right after this, you can pray Isha wherever you are. But the Masjid will pray it at 8. Okay, so when does the time end? Time ending for Isha will be the time that is entering for Fajr. So if, let's say, Fajr is starting at 6, then that's it. Now your Isha is Qaza. Okay? So you would have to start at a time where you can make it till 6, like 5:50. These are for who didn't pray. Of course, it's not good to pray at that time. Ji. So, matlab ishraq ka padhe ya fajr? Fajr ki. So, agar fajr ki namaz padhni hai and we have to pray, and we only have few minutes left, then just pray the farz. We'll pray the farz. Don't go for the sunnahs and then make the farz qaza. If the sunrise time starts, then we can't do sujood. It's haram to do sajda at that time. So it's better just to pray the 2 rakat farz. Itna ho 2 rakat padhne. Fajr qaza time. Usually what happens is after the jamaat takes place, within 20-30 minutes, it's not allowed to then pray. This is how it usually is. But it's good to check the calendar every single day. Some masajid, they have that red light, right? That's basically saying that now don't make sajda at this time. It's not allowed to pray. After Fajr Farz?
Not sure if you can share that with the master report, but then pray first and you go on to the
No, if you pray to your fathers, now you're not going to pray anything. Yeah, now you leave it. Some scholars have said if you miss your sunnats, I mean the whole namaz got qaza, let's say, and got up after sunrise. Now, some have said that if you're making up the fajr before zuhr, then pray the sunnat as well. Some have said this. But the general rule is the sunnats don't have a qaza. So some people, because Rasulullah has said the two rakats are more valuable than this world and whatever it contains, so he would never miss it. So that's why scholars have said that at least the fajr two rakat, just pray it if you're making up before zuhr. When we come in for fajr and the jamaat has started, so there are narrations of Sahaba Ikram when they would come in, and if it was the first rakat, right, then you should go ahead and pray the two rakat, then join. Usually the rakats in fajr are longer. So we have to know that if I pray my two rakat, I'm not going to miss the jamaat. That's your estimate. That's how you're trying to make it. So now fajr is going on, and one rakat has already finished. The second rakat is now coming to an end, or the salat is coming to an end. Now we should just go and join the jamaat. We're not giving superiority to the sunnah over. When we're in the masjid, we try our best. The narration that talk about this is basically they say that the Sahaba Ikram, they would come in and Rasulullah has started the salat. They would pray behind the pillar. They would pray by the entrance area. So we get the idea from this that don't come into the main hall and start crowding up the sunnah place, then people will have a problem joining the saf. So if you're behind a chair in the back, you're okay. Okay, and if you're in that room, you're fine. But you have to know I can make the jamaat. You shouldn't be sacrificing the jamaat over the sunnah.
But all the moms, they agree that after Qasr Salat, Akama, you cannot say sunnah before the sun rises.
After Fajr, Iqamah, you cannot pray sunnats. After Fajr, Namaz is done? Yes. Ji, wahi pooch raha tha wo. Some ulama say about those two rakat, but generally we should try to make it first. That option should not be in our mind.
So if you start your namaz right after, whatever your app is coming to you, is that accepted or not accepted? Or do you have to follow?
Basically, we have to know the origin of the masla. That's why I'm teaching the masla from basic things, like take this and all. Because it's not based on these apps. It's not based on it. Those apps are giving you an idea of different fiqhs. Now, for a general person, he doesn't know which fiqh is saying 6:15 and which fiqh is saying 6 o'clock. So, for the person who... it's not just Masjid Noor calendar. If you put your settings on the app for the Karachi Sciences, right? Islamic sciences, it will go with 18 degrees for Fajr and Isha, for both. Why 18 for both? Because both of them, if you follow 18, you're in the safe zone. Nobody will ever say that your Isha was not done, your Fajr was done. But if you go with 15 or even earlier, 12, 13 is there too. So what happens? Then you will have people from the Hanafi fiqh tell you, ulama will tell you, your Isha never happened. You have to pray again. So we want, the awam should be in all the safe zone. So if we want to set our apps and put it onto the Karachi Islamic Sciences, or you put it on that, then you don't have to look for Masjid Noor calendar. You'll get this, inshallah. Well, yes, so we're living in America, so basically the Sharia is going to be the same, right? Now, if you follow Ummul Qura, that same objection can be followed, right? Ummul Qura is not in America. If you follow any other of those options, you can say that this is from different parts of the world. But we're not looking for which part of the world. We're looking for where has the sun set properly. Darkness has come in. And in the morning, that light has come out. So by 18 degrees, whatever part of the world you are, the darkness will be enough for Isha. Nobody will. And by 18 degrees in the morning, you'll have enough daylight that you'll be praying Fajr on time as well. So on both sides, you'll have a safe zone. Yeah, this is more of a... Just to clarify for others. Yes, and mashallah, the ulama in Pakistan, why is this up there? You should know that some of the ulama in Pakistan have done so much work on this time setting that the basic rules have set by those ulama of Pakistan. They are ahead of the game in this. If you try to look at the whole picture, which of the ulama know most about this, you'll look into their history and you'll find out that there's a reason Karachi Sciences is up there. There's a reason for that. So we're putting ourselves in the safe zone. Keep that in mind. Forget about what country. If I do things in the safe zone, alhamdulillah, ihtiyat you're taking, your ibadat is going to be safe. So let's finish this because we only have a few minutes. Then we'll try to take more. Okay, so forbidden times, sunrise, midday, and sunset. When the sun is exactly rising, no sajda at that time. No sajda tilawat at that time. Even Salatul Janazah is said that you should not be doing at that time. Okay? And then there is the midday. Midday means the zawal before the sun moves from the highest point. So it's only for a few minutes. Some have even said 5 to 7 minutes. Some have said less than that. So the calendars here, they cover it. If you give it like a few minutes after that time, then just pray your zuhr. You can pray your zuhr after the zawal time. To pray exactly at the midday, then it's not allowed. It's a forbidden time. And sunset is the same. I talked about the exception for asr, but if sun has already set, now your asr is qaza too. This is for a person who came in and asr, he didn't pray. He starts praying and ghurub is also going on. If sun sets, then he should just continue and finish it. But for a person who has not prayed asr and sun has already set, now his asr is gone. Okay. And then we have the makruh times. Now makruh times are for nafil prayers. We came in for fajr. Fajr time, azan ho gayi fajr. Now we should not be praying any tahajjud. We should not be praying any tahiyyatul masjid. We should not be praying any nafil now. Only 2 rakat of fajr should be prayed at that time. Once the time of fajr enters, then only 2 sunnats of fajr and then you wait for the iqamah. What else can be done? What if it's a big gap? At that time you can pray the qaza-i umri. What is that? The salat you missed. The many fajrs we have missed, the many zuhr. So in that time it can be prayed from the time fajr enters all the way to the iqamat of fajr. If it's a big gap, we're staying in the masjid or in jamaat, you'll find big gaps. So you pray your qaza umri, it's allowed. Then the second time, which is makruh, is after asr. Let's say if people have prayed asr. Now after asr all the way to maghrib, there should not be any nafil prayers. No nafil prayers. You came into the masjid, asr salah, you prayed asr, right? And now after asr, you're sitting in the masjid, now you should not be praying tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wuzu. This is not the time for a nafil. But in that time, again, qaza'i umri can be prayed. Let's say, and all of us, many of us have so many. These are the times to make it up. Why is there flexibility for qaza'i umri? Allah wants us to make this up before it comes time to give account. That's why that issue is scary. When we have to make a choice between nafil and qaza'i umri, always qaza umri first. Let me finish off. And every day, 2 or 3 from the past life, we should try our best to finish that off. So for asr, after asr prayer, not when asr time enters. Asr time enters 4:38 or something. So from asr 4:38, you can still pray nafil. But once you prayed asr itself, now no other prayer except for qaza umri until the sun sets. Ji. Asr time ke namaz padhne ke baad.
Iqama ke baad
mein jab ye hai ki 5 baje pad li namaz. uske baad koi nafli nahi padenge umre qaza pad sakte umre qaza bhi ulama ne likha hai ke logon ke samne na pade jo logon ko ye shubha hoga people might think that you're praying other prayers so qaza one of the thing about qaza it should be done when we're alone too it shouldn't be done in front of people you're making so much prayer others are looking you're doing you're actually saving yourself from a punishment So to pray alone and to say, Ya Allah, I messed up. I should have never messed this salah. So their seclusion also has that mentality in it that you're crying and being sincere to Allah that how did I ever miss the prayer? Yes. Yes. If you're going to the masjid and someone asks you, yes. Yeah, it's fine. You can tell them I'm going to make some ibadat if you don't want to say qaza. You can say, oh. See, sitting in the masjid waiting for a salat, right? That's already the reward of salat. So there's many ways to, when you're coming to the masjid, there's no loss, right? You have to keep that in mind. Come in early, you're still gaining a lot more. And for tahajjud, it's very important that we in the winter nights, we try our best to pray 2 rakat tahajjud. Now those who are regular in tahajjud, they should delay their witr. The best time for witr is to make it as the last. Now let's say Fajr is about to enter in a few minutes. That time is the best to pray your witr. On the rest of the night, nawafil, and it can be in many amounts, right? So in two, make a lot of nawafil at night. If we know we're going to be up, then we keep witr at the end. For those who are afraid that I'm not going to get up until Fajr Azan has happened, then we should pray witr before we go to sleep. The tahajjud itself, scholars have said, if we cannot get up in the last portion of the night, then pray it after Isha too. They said that there are stages for tahajjud, that it won't be as much reward as the last third of the night. But if we're, let's say, we're about to go to sleep and pray 2 rakat with the niyat, inshallah, then Allah will give you the reward. After Asr, any qazas can be done. No nawafil. Any qazas. Ji. Sajda tilawat janaza, in the forbidden times we shouldn't pray. But in the makruh times, they're okay. You can pray, you can do it. That means after Asr, you can't pray nawafil, but sajda tilawat can be done. After Fajr as well, no, there's no nawafil. Fajr time is entered. No nawafil, but sajda tilawat can, we can do. But the 3 times which is forbidden, then no sajda tilawat, not even janaza is said it's allowed at that time. Ji. Okay. Make dua, inshallah, Allah makes our salat better and improves us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad Nabi, ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Ya hayy ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun al mursalin. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Yeah, hold on.